Oak Island is tiny. Just over 140 acres floating in the Atlantic off the coast of Nova Scotia, Canada. But its prominence on the world stage outsizes its geography.
A peculiar obsession with Oak Island began in 1795 when teenager Daniel McGinnis noticed an odd oval-shaped depression near the foot of an oak tree on the island. McGinnis thought it looked like someone had filled in a hole.
Curious, he looked up at the tree itself. Most of its branches were missing, except one. Judging by the other cuts on the tree, it looked like this was the biggest, strongest branch.
The large branch had a deep groove in it, as if it once supported a rope tied to something heavy, and the location of the groove lined up so that it was positioned directly over the hole in the ground. So whatever the tree branch had supported must have dropped right into the hole.
McGinnis could only imagine what this was for. He pictured a pulley system lowering supplies into a pit that someone later filled in.
McGinnis ran to find his friends. He needed help excavating.
He knew that if someone went to the trouble of suspending a pulley from a tree, the pit must have been deep. And people only dug deep holes for one reason.
To hide something at the bottom. Welcome to Unexplained Mysteries, a Parcast original. I'm your host, Molly.
And I'm your host, Richard. In life, there's so much we don't know. But in this show, we don't take we don't know for an answer.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we investigate the greatest mysteries of history and life on Earth. You can find episodes of Unexplained Mysteries and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Unexplained Mysteries for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Unexplained Mysteries in the search bar.
This is our first of two episodes on Oak Island, a small island off the coast of Nova Scotia that has been a popular treasure hunting destination for over 200 years.
This episode will cover Oak Island's storied history. Adventurers and treasure hunters have found mysterious relics and peculiar finds on this tiny piece of land, but not all of them made it off the island alive.
Next episode, we'll parse through the leading theories of what could possibly be hidden below the island's surface, including one that suggests it might be the Ark of the Covenant.
We have all that and more coming up. Stay with us.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Of all Oak Island's many legends, one prophecy propelled and terrified treasure hunters for generations. It read, "The treasure will be found when all the oaks have gone and seven men have died."
The origins of this prediction are unknown, but it seems to reference a group of tall red oak trees that once grew on the east side of the island. Historians assume that the trees gave Oak Island its name.
But today, the name makes less sense because the first half of the prophecy came true. All the oak trees have gone.
A species of black ants killed most of them throughout the 19th century. The last few survivors died in the 1960s. As for the other half of the prophecy, that hasn't come to pass yet.
In the almost 2.5 centuries of treasure hunting on Oak Island, there have been more than 17 organized ventures. But seven men haven't died in the pursuits. Six have.
This number is ominous enough, but interest in Oak Island has remained strong for the past 225 years.
The excavations began in 1795 with Daniel McGinnis's discovery of the filled-in hole at the bottom of an oak tree. Hundreds of adventurers followed in McGinnis's footsteps. They've been continuously digging, often guided by intuition alone.
Each of them signed up for the maddening task for one reason: buried treasure. A treasure that McGinnis himself believed pirates had put there.
Rumors of pirates on Oak Island date back even further to the 1720s. Nova Scotian mainlanders noticed bonfires on the island at night, and a few claimed to see apparitions among the flames, shadows. They heard groans and shrieks echo across the channel.
Some believed this was evidence of pirates. Others took it to mean the island was haunted.
When the nightly fires became a regular pattern, a few brave souls boarded boats and stealthily cruised around the island. Spirits or men, they wanted to know the truth about what happened across the water at night.
When they got close enough, they saw clear outlines against the bright flames. The figures were undoubtedly human.
The news rang through the mainland. Whispers abounded about these nearby pirates. But two plucky fishermen didn't care for assumptions. They wanted to know the real identities of these island interlopers, and more importantly, if their families were in danger. So one night, they set sail for another reconnaissance mission.
But the two men never returned.
The strange disappearance of the fishermen created a lasting sense of dread around Oak Island. Even after the fires and figures vanished, mainlanders were still reluctant to venture there.
But all that changed 75 years later when McGinnis uncovered evidence of human engineering on the island. His discovery seemingly confirmed a long-standing suspicion. The nightly visitors were pirates. The marauders must have burned fires to light their clandestine work as they hid their caches of treasure.
McGinnis, with the help of a few friends, only dug 2 feet down before hitting a layer of stone slabs.
McGinnis then learned that the stones were not native to the island. Whoever dug the hole likely hauled them from the bank of the Gold River, about 2 miles away, across the bay in Nova Scotia.
The stone was far from valuable, but it encouraged McGinnis that someone had been trying to hide something. He knew he was on the right track.
After digging to 10 feet, McGinnis and his teammates discovered another man-made layer composed of oak planks. They found similar wooden boards when they reached 20 and 30 feet down.
With each sign of human activity, McGinnis grew more dedicated to the task at hand and more confident that untold riches lay below.
Along the way, his team stumbled upon a number of human artifacts, including a stone whistle and a copper coin minted in the year 1713, more than 80 years earlier, and 7 years before the strange fires on the island.
But the deeper they dug, the harder the work became. McGinnis and his friends admitted that they were in over their heads in more ways than one. Hauling soil out of a 30-foot hole wasn't a job for 3 men. They needed more bodies and better equipment.
McGinnis tried to find investors and volunteers to help continue his search, but for years, it seems he had no takers. The hole on Oak Island became known as the Money Pit, and it sat untouched until...
In 1803, 8 years after McGinnis's initial discovery, another treasure hunter arrived on Oak Island, Dr. Simeon Lanes. Lanes infused McGinnis's old project with new capital and momentum.
He brought superior equipment and expertise, but Lanes' team still struggled with flooding as they bored deeper into the Money Pit, past sea level. Still, they continued on for years.
In 1804, their perseverance paid off. At 80 feet below ground, they struck something hard.
Lane's workers feverishly brushed away grit and sand to reveal a cut rectangular stone, roughly 2 feet long and about a foot thick.
This one was different from the other stones McGinnis had found. Someone or something had carved strange symbols into its surface.
For nearly a century, treasure hunters, linguists, historians, and occultists pored over the message, trying to uncover its meaning, but none of them succeeded.
Then, towards the end of the 19th century, an Irish schoolteacher finally cracked the code. While other translations of the glyphs were offered, most treasure hunters agreed that this interpretation was the right one. The message read, 40 feet below, 2 million pounds are buried. Coming up, Dr. Lane's men almost die in pursuit of treasure.
Hi, it's Molly. In case you haven't heard, Parcast has an intense new original series I think you'll really enjoy. It's called Medical Murders, and it exposes the dark, disturbing, and deadly side of medicine. Every Wednesday, Medical Murders introduces you to the worst the medical community has to offer. Men and women who took an oath to save lives, but instead used their expertise to develop more sinister specialties. Join host Alastair Murden as he examines the formative years and motives of history's most infamous killers, dissecting their medical backgrounds with expert analysis and professional insight provided by practicing MD, Dr. David Kipper. You'll investigate a wide range of heinous healthcare workers, like the general practitioner believed to be the most prolific serial killer in modern history, or the dentist who led a double life as a hitman, or even the doctor and gang member who mixed deadly potions for unhappy housewives to use on their husbands. When it comes to these true crime stories, the only thing the doctor ordered is murder. Follow Medical Murders free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to the story.
In 1795, Daniel McGinnis discovered what he believed to be the location of buried treasure. In 1804, Dr. Simeon Lanes led an excavation of the spot that reached 80 feet down. There they found a stone with cryptic symbols etched into its face.
Once deciphered, the message spoke of a treasure located 40 more feet down.
It took decades to decode the stone, but before that happened in the early 1800s, Dr. Lanes and his team doubled down on their efforts. As they did, they continued to find signs of human activity about every 10 feet. In addition to oak planks, they discovered layers of coconut fiber.
Similar to their other finds, coconuts were not native to Oak Island. In fact, the nearest coconut trees grew about 1,500 miles away. Financially, the skins were worthless, but emotionally, they fueled Lane's motivations to dig further. Now, he was digging for an exotic treasure.
Eventually, Lane's team hit the same roadblock that has plagued every Oak Island excavation: water. They arrived one morning to find that overnight, 90 feet of water had reburied their years of hard work.
But they didn't give up. They dug another shaft next to the money pit. They likely planned to connect these two holes with a lateral tunnel, but before they could complete this project, a fresh disaster struck.
Water burst through the tunnel with Lane's workers inside. One of the men nearly drowned.
After this catastrophe, Lane's ended his efforts. The money pit sat idle for decades, but rumors of its treasure never died down. It wasn't a matter of if someone would pick up where Lane's left off, but who.
The answer came in 1849, when a treasure-hunting organization called the Truro Company stepped up to the plate with their specialty equipment. They noticed that the water level of the pit ebbed and flowed with the ocean tides.
For the first time since 1795, attention was drawn away from the money pit as the Truro Company started digging on the nearest shore, Smith's Cove.
They hadn't been digging long before they found evidence of human intervention. It was more coconut husks, and not just a few. The Truro workers discovered an even 2-inch thick layer of husks spread out under the sand along the shore.
Excitement rippled through the workers. For all they knew, the entire island was a treasure trove. A full-on excavation of Smith's Cove was soon underway.
And before long, the Truro Company uncovered 3 distinct layers beneath about 145 square feet of shoreline.
You can think of these layers as a 3-tiered cake. If the sand was the icing, the first layer was the coconut husks. Below that was a 4-to-5-inch layer of eelgrass, followed by a final layer of stones packed tightly together.
Eelgrass is a relatively common genus of seaweed which can be found along Nova Scotia's coast. So while it wasn't an exotic material like the coconut husks, it appeared to be transported ashore to Oak Island with a clear purpose. Because of the layers of coconut and eelgrass, the stones underneath were incredibly clean, miraculously free of any sand.
The bizarre precision of all this indicated that the original barriers might have even laid the sand on top of the stone, seaweed, and coconut, meaning the entire shoreline could be artificial.
Then, after strenuously excavating the layers of stone, the Truro Company found signs of an entire drainage system.
Small rectangular canals, about 8 inches wide and a few inches deep, crossed underneath the beach. Flat rocks had been placed on top of these canals, so workers started referring to them as box drains.
These box drains ran all the way from the ocean up to a mysterious mound of earth. Naturally, this mound became their next project.
Underneath the mound, the Truro Company found drainage canals that fanned out, like the fingers of a hand. All 5 channels ran directly into the ocean.
This in itself was a major breakthrough. They seemed to have discovered the source of the water that had been flooding the money pit.
Some speculated that the canals were part of an elaborate booby trap designed to trigger flooding in the money pit before an outsider reached bottom. So some dubbed the setup the Pirate Tunnels.
But the high from their discovery was short-lived. Shortly after, in 1851, for reasons unknown, the company folded.
Over the next century, at least 8 different groups tried to get their hands on the alleged treasure beneath Oak Island. They dug additional shafts near the money pit, and they burrowed deeper into the shoreline of Smith's Cove.
Progress was always met with familiar setbacks, cave-ins, and flooding. 6 lives were lost while searching.
The first person died in 1864 when a boiler on a piece of machinery exploded. The second, Maynard Kaiser, was killed in 1897 after falling down one of the shafts.
But 1965 was the worst. That year, treasure hunter Robert Restall climbed 27 feet down into a partially flooded shaft while his son Bobby gathered brush nearby.
A few minutes later, something, we're not sure what, happened, and it caused Bobby to believe that his father needed help. Bobby sounded an alarm and climbed down into the shaft himself.
Upon hearing the alarm, 3 friends, Cyril Hiltz, Carl Grazer, and Andrew DeMont, arrived. All 3 men decided to go down after Bobby and his father.
As they descended, a strange, toxic gas filled the shaftway. By the time Andrew reached the bottom, Cyril, Carl, Bobby, and Bobby's father, Robert, were all dead, and Andrew was barely clinging on to life.
Miraculously, Edward J. White, a fireman visiting Oak Island on vacation, happened to be nearby. When he heard word of the danger, he rigged a safety harness and tasked his son with lowering him into the pit.
Ed gulped a lungful of fresh air, then held his breath and descended into a greenish smog. At the bottom, he found Andrew crumpled on the ground. Ed rigged a spare harness to Andrew's limp body and tugged on the rope to let his son know to pull them out.
When it was all over, Ed and his son had saved Andrew DeMont's life, but it was too late for the other four victims. To this day, nobody knows where the gas came from or what it was.
Despite the now long history of death and despair, the promise of buried treasure still drew hunters from across the world. And in 1967, 2 years after the lethal gas accident, a man named Dan Blankenship answered the call.
Not long into their stay on Oak Island, Blankenship and his treasure hunting partners experienced a string of successes. Between 1967 and 1969, they excavated 60 areas in and around the money pit, finding materials like charcoal, cement, metal, and china.
And in 1970, they discovered one area where small, thin shards of metal had mixed into the soil.
But more interesting than what they hit was what they didn't. At around 140 feet down, Blankenship's drills struck water and air.
Underground cavities.
Eventually, they created an opening large enough to lower a camera in. When the camera reached 230 feet, it struck the bottom of the cavern.
The first image flickered into the receiver's screen, and Blankenship stared at it for several seconds. His eyes grew wide and horrified. Then a scream escaped his throat.
Blankenship's colleagues came running to his side. He pointed to the receiver for them to see.
Each gasped in turn. The image showed a severed human hand floating in water. Coming up, Blankenship rappels into the depths of the pit. Now, back to the story.
In 1970, Dan Blankenship discovered an underground cavern beneath Oak Island. He thought it might be a major breakthrough in the almost 200-year-old quest for treasure.
But in his initial exploration of the cavern, he uncovered a severed human hand floating in the water.
The mysterious hand cemented Blankenship's fascination with the cavern. For the next few years, his team continued excavating until they managed to dig a human-sized shaft 235 feet below Oak Island, deeper than any previous project had gone.
In the process, they uncovered materials that added even more intrigue to the island. At 167 feet, they found spruce planks that experts carbon dated to the year 3005, as in the future.
Researchers eventually chalked up the bizarre anomaly to a preservation agent called pitchblende. The material in itself wasn't strange. Sailors often coated their ships' hulls in pitchblende to protect the wood. Somehow, it had skewed the carbon dating process of the spruce planks.
It was possible that whoever laid the planks had used wood from a dismantled ship, but Blankenship wasn't sure. For all he knew, the wood could have been from the future, and he was determined to find out.
By 1976, Blankenship's team had widened the hole enough to allow a manned exploration into the underground cavern. But quickly, they realized that it wasn't safe. Strong currents and unpredictable erosion made any serious exploration too dangerous. They needed to be connected to a harness.
This would limit how far they could go, but the team of explorers was willing to do whatever they could. They would have to lower each other into the pit with the help of a winch, a motorized pulley system that functions like a fishing reel.
They would have to make sure to stay just above the waterline whenever they went exploring. Then, on November 25th, 1976, it was Blankenship's turn.
It wasn't Blankenship's first time venturing into the cavern. But on this occasion, his 26-year-old son, David, operated the winch. Working steadily, David lowered his father 95 feet underground.
Blankenship planned to examine a few preliminary holes that his team had bored perpendicular to the largest pit. But as he did, he realized they hadn't held up. They were blocked with debris, and Blankenship didn't have a clear view.
According to Joy Steele's book, The Mystery of Oak Island Solved, Blankenship radioed up to the surface to say, "I'm going to get nothing but a face full of mud." And then, a rumble cut off the transmission.
Bits of earth fell on Blankenship from above. He knew he was in serious danger, but he kept calm. He simply spoke to his son through the radio, asking to be brought up.
Within seconds, huge chunks of debris broke off from the sides of the chasm. They barely missed Blankenship's head as they fell.
On the surface, David finally heard his father's cries for help crackling through the radio. When he glanced down into the pit, it looked like a black hole imploding. The sides of the pit fell inward, pulling on the rope that held his father.
After some time, Blankenship's voice crackled through radio static, screaming for help. He was still alive. David jumped on the controls.
An experienced winch operator, David had prepared for the possibility of disaster by keeping the engine revved while his father explored the chasm. The practice wasted gas, but in this instance, it prevented Oak Island from claiming its seventh victim and fulfilling the prophecy.
David jerked frantically on the controls, knowing it might be useless. But against all odds, Blankenship emerged from the imploding hole unscathed.
As his feet returned to solid ground, he reportedly told his son not to tell his mother.
Even after the ill-fated adventure, Blankenship didn't give up his search. In fact, he built momentum, this time back at Smith's Cove.
Many hands had previously worked to uncover the area, but Blankenship and his team were forced to start their excavation more or less from scratch. Over the years, ocean tides redeposited sand and debris on the shoreline.
Once again, Blankenship's team unearthed the system of box drains, but as they did, they came across some new artifacts.
One item turned out to be a carpenter's square that dated back to the year 1783. Craftsmen used the tool to ensure proper measurements on everything they built. Modern carpenters still use the same tool today.
Blankenship's team also found a rusty pair of scissors that experts suspected originated from Mexico. But the most unusual find didn't have any clear purpose.
One of Blankenship's workers noticed a piece of red granite that seemed to show signs of human manipulation. As he examined it, he realized it had been deliberately carved into the shape of a heart.
Speculation abounded over the granite heart's purpose. It was heavy, and its shape allowed it to be securely fastened to a rope. Some believed that it might have served as a small anchor or as a weight to speed the passage of tools down a shaft.
Another theory linked the heart-shaped rock and the carpenter square. Both items were significant symbols for the Freemasons, a legendary secretive fraternal organization dating back to the 17th century.
And the artifacts Blankenship's team found on Smith's Cove weren't the only indications of a Freemasonry presence on Oak Island. While Blankenship got his hands dirty searching, a professional surveyor named Fred Nolan started an investigation of his own.
And unlike Blankenship, Nolan took a big picture approach, making a significant discovery without ever using a shovel.
As a surveyor, Fred Nolan was used to plotting out the surface features of landmasses. It wasn't an accident that he owned property on Oak Island. Like everyone before him, he wanted to unlock its secrets. So he spent much of his time probing the island with his expert eye.
Nolan meticulously recorded every detail of the island on a map, down to the location of its trees and rocks. One afternoon, as he transcribed his field notes, he noticed a peculiar detail that raised every hair on his body.
In recording the location of several large boulders, Nolan inadvertently drew a Christian cross.
Immediately, he recorded more exact measurements. The long vertical stem of the cross measured 867 feet from top to bottom. The horizontal arms of the cross reached 360 feet from left to right.
The more data Nolan collected, the more certain he became that human hands created this sacred image. The cross had exact 90-degree angles, a shape seldom found in nature.
Further analysis confirmed Nolan's assumption. Each of the boulders stood about 9 feet tall and 8 feet wide. Even more curious, they all had unnaturally conical tops, indicating they'd been specially shaped or selected.
Just to be sure, Nolan searched the rest of the island for similar boulders. He found none.
However, one of the boulders that made up the cross differed slightly in appearance. This was the rock making up the intersection of the cross. It appeared more detailed than the others. In fact, it looked a lot like a human head.
The heart and cross are common symbols of another secret society, the Knights Templar, an ancient Christian military order. Many scholars believe the medieval Knights Templar to be connected to the later secret society, the Freemasons, and there is a branch of 18th century Freemasonry called the Knights Templar.
The 18th century was right around the time that settlers on mainland Canada spotted strange fires on Oak Island.
Naturally, Fred Nolan's find sparked a lot of added interest. And as recently as January 2020, his son, Tom Nolan, continued his work on Oak Island. He joined forces with Oak Island Tours, Inc., a business founded by Dan Blankenship.
Oak Island Tours continued probing the tiny island's secrets. The History Channel even packaged the group's efforts into a 2014 hit documentary series.
Smith's Cove remained an area of interest for Oak Island Tours. The group fully excavated a slipway, a kind of boat ramp, that dated back to the 1770s, just 2 decades before Daniel McGinnis first discovered the Money Pit.
Most recently, they focused on a swamp in the center of the island. Seismic testing of the area indicated that there could be a physical structure sunk below the surface.
Even after more than 200 years of concentrated research and excavation, Oak Island still holds many secrets.
Next week, we'll unravel some of the fascinating theories about what's really underneath the island and why.
Of all the pirates that could have visited Oak Island centuries ago, some experts suspect the notorious Captain Kidd laid his riches there. We'll take a look at the Scottish pirate's history and habits to find out why he's a likely candidate and why he might have lit so many fires on the island.
Some of the artifacts discovered suggest that the Knights Templar and the Freemasons at least visited Oak Island. We'll test that theory against known Freemasonry lore and consider what priceless relic these mythic groups might have chosen to bury on Oak Island.
Is it the Ark of the Covenant? The Holy Grail?
One geologist thinks they know the answer.
And they reached it without digging any more holes.
Thanks again for tuning in to Unexplained Mysteries. We will be back Thursday with part 2 of The Mystery of Oak Island. For more information on Oak Island, amongst the many sources we used, we found Joy A. Steele's book, The Mystery of Oak Island, Solved, extremely helpful to our research.
You can find all episodes of Unexplained Mysteries and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify.
Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals like Unexplained Mysteries for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker.
To stream Unexplained Mysteries on Spotify, just open the app and type Unexplained Mysteries in the search bar.
See you Thursday.
And remember, never take "we don't know" for an answer.
Unexplained Mysteries was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Anthony Valsic, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Travis Clark. This episode of Unexplained Mysteries was written by Hannah McIntosh, with writing assistance by Ali Wicker, and stars Molly Brandenburg and Richard Rossner.
Hi, listeners. Trust me, you don't want to miss the intense new Parcast original series, Medical Murders. From trauma surgeons to hospice staff, medical professionals are trained to give exceptional care. But what about those who use their skills not to heal, but hurt? Every Wednesday, meet the worst the medical community has to offer. Men and women who took an oath to save lives, but instead used their expertise to develop more sinister specialties. Follow Medical Murders free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.